Anyway,
it's Tuesday evening, October 25th. Lord, have your hand upon our gathering. Bless us.
What is it?
October the 25th.
It's been stated. So you can relax. He was standing there with, holding a chair.
But anyway, and it doesn't mean, although I'd like to think it does, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's exactly the way that it was said. But I'm sure that for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, I'm sure that that was at least insinuated. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Is that kind of where we ended up here? Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What is God's objective? It is for us to become like His Son. So it calls him the first fruits, the firstborn, and there were others that were born before him, but that's not really what we're talking about. He was the firstborn of the new creation. But anyway. being a pastor, I have had a lot of obstacles and a lot of things that I never knew half the time what I was supposed to do. And I got information and insight from some pastors and you know, Don Burnett, what you should do. But you know what? You only do through Don Burnett as Don Burnett is. You know what I mean? And so here's Keith Gunn. And it talks about Moses in the Bible. It says he was the meekest of all men. And he had a problem. And what the Jews resented, he married an Ethiopian woman. And she was not of Jewish background. So we never hear anything about his kids. He had two boys, I think. And do we ever see any place where he would talk about them? I think where it is in Exodus, where it talks about him, I think it says that he married this Ethiopian woman and they had two children. I think that's where it says.
Yeah, when he went to, after he had that confrontation, he ran off to another country, married her, and had two sons. I thought of that the other day, too, and I went, I don't think they ever get mentioned again, though. I happened to hear that when I was listening.
Well, it tells us wherever it is in there. It tells us that he married this. Let's see, what was the Ethiopian priest? He married his daughter. Ethiopian priest, what was his name?
Jethro was the father-in-law of Moses. Jethro was Moses's.
Yeah, Jethro.
Father-in-law.
Yeah, that was his.
Zipporah was his wife.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, I remember. And And
two sons named Gershom.
Oh, what was their names?
Gershom. And their two sons. One son was named Gershom.
Is it a dispensation too?
I don't see the name of the other one. It's in chapter 18 of Exodus, where it talks about them.
How'd you find that so quick?
I don't know, I just opened to it.
I was sitting here thinking that same thing. How did you get that?
I don't know, it just opened there. When I opened my desk, it just opened there. I just see the one name of this one son, not the other one.
Probably just the firstborn gets named.
Oh, there it is. The other was named Eliezer. E-L-I-E-Z-E-R, Eliezer.
Okay.
There it is.
What verse is that?
Verse 4.
18:4.
You know, it don't help to turn two pages instead of one.
No.
Because then you got something that's
completely
really strange.
Fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. That's in Acts.
Oh, yeah, Eliezer. You know, I haven't read this for a long, long time. But anyway, Moses' sister and her brother Aaron. Oh, what was her name?
Miriam.
Miriam, yeah. Miriam and Aaron got upset at Moses because he had married an Ethiopian woman. Well, he didn't purposely marry an Ethiopian woman. He met her father, and he liked, you know, he fell in love with her. I mean, there were other Jews that, you know, but they got upset about it. But anyway, having said all of that, we're natural, and we can't help it. And Joanna's gone, and I loved her, and I love her, and I always will. But I tell you what, it wasn't always peaches and cream. Because Keith Gunn, I'm not like to Boulder, but I'm easygoing, very meek, mild, and people can run all over me real easy. And but you don't, you couldn't run all over Joanne. And so she was kind of a little bit always touchy about what happened, you know. And she'd say, I'm Pastor Keith Egan's wife, you know, as if she had, it was given her some kind of a license to do whatever she did, you know. But she'd like to correct me. I don't like that. Well, do you suppose you should do this? Or maybe you should have done that. And you know what? Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But we always had a little bit of a thing over it, you know. And I could understand. Don Burnett, he would have stepped in. But God never really directed any pastor to step in and direct a church. And, God directed the church, and God did a lot of things in this church. And we saw a lot of things happen. And it wasn't because of any good thing in me, or it just, you get out of the way and let God do what he wants to do. And he will.
Hello? Hi.
Those phones are nice, aren't they?
Okay.
Mine never is, she says.
It's going to be a girl. No.
But anyway. Pablo is a little bit more aggressive than I ever was. But at the same time, he's married to my wife's daughter. Do I have to say any more? And so she will put her two cents in for sure. Which is okay. You guys are mature enough to.
I'm going to go out and call your
work. Yeah. Take her outside. Go ahead, jump on her when she gets back.
Wasn't what I was thinking, actually, but that's okay. So where were you going with this story about the Ethiopian?
You know what? I don't know.
Oh.
I'm at the age now. I never know where I'm
going. You have to have starting points and end points. Those are kind of optional.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought maybe you would, like I said, you were thinking about it, so I thought maybe there was more to that.
I want to do, but I'm not even sure where I'm at. That's what you guys are for.
Huh. Okie dokie.
You know, this isn't a big deal. It's not, it has anything to do with salvation or anything, but I happen to notice, well, you know how many times it uses 40 in the Bible?
I have come across that, yeah.
Well, the other day I was listening, and it says, and Jesus, and he was, it was 3 days that he was without his parents teaching in the synagogue. I thought, oh, and it was 3 days that he was buried, and then he was resurrected. You know, no major significance, but I thought it was kind of odd. And it could be purely, you know, circumstance, you know. But I just thought it was kind of interesting. He was 3 days without his parents while he was teaching or learning. Well, I think he was preaching. I mean,
yeah. That, was, I believe, was the time that they let him go. They were astounded at his knowledge. Someone so young and
yeah.
Well before his ministry started.
So, there's my little tidbit.
I'm sorry. I had to take it. We're having another great-grandson. Another boy.
You just had another one?
We're having another one.
Oh, you're having one.
We found out that it's a boy. It's going to be a boy.
Work in progress.
Yeah. We have two more coming now.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
It's,
interrupted.
All right,
well, I'll be glad when all of this is over with. I will.
Yeah. I think we're all timing in a minute.
When the trumpet sounds, and time shall be no more.
Yeah, I love that moment. That moment will be praiseworthy.
How does that song say? And the morning breaks eternally bright and fair. That's in a song.
Yeah, I'm horrible at song lyrics. So my wife is incredibly good at that. I'll tell you, I too have been struggling with being able to maintain that positive attitude with the way the natural world is. Just this last couple of weeks, it's just been a bigger than usual grind. It's just like, you know, I know how I'm supposed to be and how I should feel and what scriptures requires of me. And I know I'm not there. And it's like, you just go, yeah. I wish it was less. You know, so the fact that you're struggling or being tested only means that God really thinks highly of you. Shucks darn.
Well, I know for sure that God has his hand on Pablo. And it could be an entirely new thing for you guys. I have no idea. I'm not planning on hanging around too long. But to hang around as long as you have to, you know. It has been appointed unto men once to die. You can't do anything until he kills you. Mm-hmm. Or lets you die, or whatever he does, you know. But you know what? It's not a bad thing.
No.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you could say it. You're still here. There's something else he wants you to do yet.
Yeah.
Don't you change yourself.
He has a plan for each one of us, and until that plan is finished, we don't want to cut it short.
Yeah, you know, I used to have a lot of get up and go. And all of a sudden, I kind of wears off. It's like Arlene Link Simonson said a number of times. She said, "My get up and go is got up and went." And you think that just because you turn older that it's not going to go, but it does. Something happens. I don't have the energy I used to have. And people don't want to do the things that I want to do. So now I got a helmet.
I just happen to open to a scripture here. "Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death."
Hmm. If anyone does what?
Keeps his word, he shall never see death. So that's kind of interesting because...
goes back to another question we had about, you know, the renting and coming up on it and so on. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
where is that?
It's John 8:51.
Could you be talking about the final death in that phrase?
Well, whatever death, but no. There is no, evidently, if you keep his word, you never really die. But if you don't keep his word, I mean, because if you go to hell, you're still alive too, really. Well, but it probably means dead to the kingdom, dead to God, you know.
Right.
It's just kind of interesting that it says that way because your soul is eternal, you know.
Yeah,
but he said you will die in your sin, you know. So there is something there involved.
Where's Charlie tonight, or you don't know?
They're out of town. Kind of funny lately. I've been like, just the other day it was nice. I was laid back in my recliner and I had scriptures playing right next to me, and I just laid there and it was just nice, you know, just hearing the word going on. And then I think eventually I probably took a little nap, but I've noticed that I'm enjoying hearing them. But right now it's like there's not big revelations bouncing forward or coming out, but it's just like, I think it's just feeding for now, you know.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. I used to I studied the word. I don't study the word.
Yeah, right. Right. You listen and let the Holy Spirit teach.
Yeah. Yeah, would you make my sister help me? And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're troubled by so many things. But Mary has chosen the good part." Now, I would have felt like if Mary should have helped her. But Jesus didn't see it that way.
No. Well, it's like too when he says, unless you hate your own mother and father, brother and sister, you have no part with me. You know? In other words, I better be the focus only.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I think we all have to be careful, but we all probably have known someone whose partner has kept them from going on, you know, deeper in the Lord.
Yeah.
That is an incredibly difficult thing to match up.
Yeah.
Even in with totally willing hearts and totally open to God, there's no guarantee that it's going to come the same to both at the same time. But he's pretty good to fix that. But I mean, you've got to work at that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think if you're one that's getting something, you have to be patient and long-suffering. Waiting for whoever it is, waiting for the other one to get the same revelation.
Yeah, when God wants that to happen quick, he does.
Yeah.
We've witnessed that. And when he wants, it takes more time, and we witness that too.
Our year can be like a second to him,
mm-hmm.
and a second can be like a thousand years.
Yeah.
He doesn't know time like we know time.
In John, I think it's 16:13, it says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. And I saw that's the word I want. An experience of that, or evidence of
it,
the other day. And we got, you know, Matthew 28:19. Now I saw this and read that in a kind of a hand-me-down, a little old translation that Don Burnett had, and it says, we'll make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in my name. You know, it says that, right? That's the way it says it that, in that translation. It was an old translation. And whatever happened, happened. And so there was an article that I saw in this where a Catholic priest was taking the credit for it, because he thought that was true. He thought it was okay to do it, see. Because that's a true revelation. The Trinity is true. And anyway, in Acts 2:38, where Jesus says, or where Peter said, baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive, you know, it says that. Well, anyway, there we have John 16:13 being executed.
Executed?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because there's a other places too, and they baptize them in the name of Jesus. You know, there's quite a few accounts like that. And then it's everywhere. It's the name, it's Jesus' name that is all encompassing power or whatever. I mean, now there, I did notice, I was reading the other day or listening, can't remember which, and he does, Jesus does say, and I kept them in your name, you know, but that name is probably the same name that God passed on to his son, you know. I mean, the effect, the meaning of it. I think that's in John somewhere. Probably is in there.
Yes, she called.
17 or 18, maybe. Oops, bang on the table. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. That they may be one just as we are one. And this is interesting. In 17:14. Oh, back here. Here it is. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. When I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But in 14 it says, I have given them your word. So that's just another thing.
Yeah.
That said it wasn't him, it was God doing everything, you know, through him.
Well, you know what it says, that the first chapter of John, in the 18th verse, it says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. Now, in some translations, it says, but the only begotten Son, who himself is God. And that's because somebody wants to say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's in the bosom of the Father, what kind of a relationship is that?
That's a good one.
Are we also in the bosom of the Father?
I think we can be.
Can be.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to have that relationship that John had with Jesus, the apostle whom he loved.
You know, I just see a scripture that it wouldn't hurt to bring up every once in a while in deliverance. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. That'd be a nice one to quote to a demon, wouldn't
it?
Yeah. No, sorry, the Lord said he's going to keep us from you, demonic crud.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Liar and deceiver.
Said, something about you, and I have given them into the Father's hand, or something like that.
Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory. The glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. That's in John 17.
Yeah. There's a lot of good ones in 17.
Yeah.
There's somewhere where it says something about, I think in his hand. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and I believe that I came forth from God. Kind of a nice confirmation of who loves you. Yeah, what I'm thinking, first for hear and read, probably chapters 14 through 17. Pretty hefty stuff said in there.
In Acts chapter 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and with one accord. What's it mean when it was fully come? It must be something, though. What does it mean?
It's Acts what? 2 what?
It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come.
Acts 2.
Oh, Acts 2.
Well, because they probably only had a form of Pentecost before that.
Well, that's a thought. It's one of those things that you take it for granted, but you don't really think about it.
It's like, this is the real Pentecost.
Yeah, the one accord is translated a lot of times as in one place at the same time. They were all together in one place.
Now, what they said, and some of them says, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, he lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all of that dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known unto you, and hearken to my words. These are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Does that give us a clue that, you know, what is the third hour?
Mine says it's only 9 in the morning.
Is that what it says in yours?
Mm-hmm. These people are not drunk as ye suppose, it's only 9 in the morning.
I was going to say it probably was about somewhere in there. And it says in verse 17, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.
That's talking of the last days, the end of time, isn't it? It says, in the last days, God says.
You know, I was reading about the Holy Spirit in John 16, and there's a little thing in there that does say something. Let's see. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So that is... there is a part of the prophet that's to see things that are coming, you know. It's just not the whole ministry of the prophet.
But a lot of people want so bad to be a part of that.
Oh yeah, right.
That they make up some really crazy things.
Yeah. They don't hear the part about, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So that's really the more important part, actually, the bigger part of it. That you get all the things that were told to Jesus can be told to you.
And there's not too many places that are in the New Testament, especially, that are new to us. Although the book of Revelation, you know, I haven't spent much time. I used to spend a lot of it under Don Burnett, but because he was convinced that a couple of the books of Revelation were in wrong order. I never thought Don, don't even think that. How does he know that?
Must not have fit in with what he believed.
I think some of the key to Revelation is that I think it's showing certain things from different angles, you know. So it's kind of confusing because you think it should be going chronologically, you know, in time. Well, it's not. It jumps around, and you know, all of a sudden, the Spirit's saying one thing here, and then it goes off, and then it comes back and says kind of the same thing again here, you know. And so that's why it's definitely going to take the Holy Spirit to put light on it. Man is never going to figure it out with his own mind.
But it ends with, "Yes, I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Yeah. But after a while, it's hard to find the verse that you're not familiar with. You know, it's possible, but it's hard to find one. Even in the book of Revelation.
Well, to say it's familiar to us, but God has other ideas about some of it that he'll go, this part's familiar, but what about this? You go, I never saw that.
And then all of a sudden Revelation comes going, changes everything.
Huh?
When you read something, then you get the Revelation.
Yeah.
It changes everything.
And you were maybe familiar with the verse before, but you weren't familiar in the way that he just showed you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he brings light or truth, it's a whole different verse, you know.
Starting over.
Yeah.
In a way.
That's why it's kind of neat to be listening and just waiting to see what he's going to make pop out.
Of one word, we'll just go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And then the whole thing goes, oh, yeah.
Yep, I see. Well, I read this, I'm good to go. Yep, I sure am. Go where? You know, because every time you read something, you do get new revelation or something that you knew is revealed to you, or you see it in a different light. You know.
So, yeah. I mean,
you can't just say, well, I read it once and that's enough. So.
Well, like Keith, I used to think I had to study. I had to study and study and study.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did too.
But then I just put it aside, and now when I pick it up, it comes alive.
Well, does it say study to show yourself approved?
Approved, yeah. So that's what he did.
Yeah, it's not really. But obviously, it didn't mean that necessarily.
No, but.
Well, I don't think we understood.
The way I took it was legalistic.
Yeah, we didn't understand what study meant.
Right.
Study to be aware of it so the Holy Spirit can bring it to life. We didn't know that. But
so
I remember trying to study it, and I think, I can't do this.
So then, in two different places in the book of Hebrews, God tells us, he says, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. I'm going to write my laws in their heart and in their minds. Or on their heart, in their mind, or something. He says it just the opposite the second time. And anyway, he says, I'm going to make a new covenant with Israel. And it's like, What to do about this? Except that he's going to do it in such a way it's not written in words. It's in their heart.
It becomes more real.
That's what I want.
Takes away the legalistic side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And after a while, you can't even think legalistically.
Yeah.
You're so in love with the words that are true. That's what makes the difference, is to love it. Even when it's hard.
Just do it.
I can't believe it was that hard.
That's where guys make a mistake every once in a while. You know, they're in their house and they're packing to go hunting and they're trying to get snacks and everything's fine. Then you get up in the tree and it's 20 degrees out or colder, and all of a sudden you grab that thing and you go, oh my gosh, it's like an alarm going off. It's so noisy.
They were excited to let us know that we have a grandson coming.
I see it.
Love you all.
1 minute to eight.
1 minute we got one.
Oh, we quit too short.
I don't know.